Jackson Sunday morning. And I'm glad about it. Does it still move you when you consider how much God loves you? That God would love us so much that God Himself would take on flesh and dwell among us. Does that still move you? That God would come as Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and heal the sick, give sight to the blind, and then make His way in love, declaring, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." Does that still move you? That He entered into Jerusalem on that Passion Week and riding on a donkey's coat as prophesied and going in and turning the tables over at the temple saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." Does that story still move you? That He would love us enough that even in the face of death, death on a cross, He would still go to Calvary on our behalf because He loves us. Does that still move you? That He would lay down His life, taking on our sins, the penalty of our sins, and dying on a cross. Does it? And then 3 days later, early Sunday morning, I sure wish I was in a Baptist church. He rises from the grave. Does that still move you? Because I have a question to ask. As we engage the 24th chapter of Luke, I have a question that I want you to ponder. And that is, when this Easter celebration ends, what then? You know, I grew up in the 80s. And you know, when I say it, I sound older every time I say that. And back in the day, there were some songs that moved me. Those three elements that my parents used to hang out with: Earth, Wind. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. It's all right. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Don't look at me like you've been in church all your life. It's to move you. Frankie Beverly. You know what I'm going back to. Happy feelings. It just would move you. Have you ever been there where a song that Lorraine that you hadn't heard in a while would just come over the radio and it does something to you? Can I talk to some real people in here? You ever had that happen where you got a flashback because you remembered what you were doing at the time you heard that song? You remember the time you heard the songs of old and the songs of new? And to my young folk here, what's new to me may still be old to you, but that ought to be something that moves you. Because I'm concerned that when all the celebration and the festivities end, at the end of service, when everyone will come, well, not all of you, but you'll come and get a flower to bring home, and please take one with you at the end of the service. What then? What? Because I believe that our understanding of the resurrection and full acceptance of what we say we celebrate at Easter is life transforming. That when you really accept the truth of who God is, who Messiah is, who Jesus is, that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again. When you really embrace the truth that you can say amen to, it ought to change how you live. I just want to know. I want to know, brothers and sisters, what will you do today when Easter ends? Does it really still move you? I'm going to just introduce you to some people in the text in the 24th chapter of Luke, where the Bible, Luke gives an account of that resurrection Sunday morning. And there are those in this account who responded to the good news of the resurrection, but all of them didn't respond the same way. In fact, I submit to you that we may see ourselves reflected in this narrative account of the resurrection. Follow me in the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning at the first verse where it says, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?'" Look at verse 8. "And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." Oh, check out the first witnesses in the text. That after Easter had occurred, after the resurrection had happened, check out their response. I hope you don't close your Bibles on this, because when they came to the tomb, notice their disposition. When they were on their way to the tomb, the text says, Curtis, that they were perplexed. They were troubled about the scene that they were seeing. They were troubled about the season that they were in. Because if you are a student of the Bible, you understand then that these disciples, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, these disciples of Christ had followed him early in his ministry. They were with him when he had that fish fry in Galilee. They were with him when he touched blind eyes and without any ophthalmologist surgical procedure allowed people to have sight. They were with him when he resurrected Lazarus. But they also saw when he gave his life for all of us as a ransom. And the last time, Pastor Benny, they see the Savior, he was dead. And now they go to the last place they were with him. With tears in their eyes, they're going. The text says they're perplexed, they're disturbed. And then they get there contemplating, Matthew 28 says, contemplating how they're going to move the stone away. Can I park here for a moment? Because I take issue with this right here. Because here the ladies, these disciples, are contemplating how they're going to move the stone away. I got a question to ask Michael. Where were the men? I'm just saying. I forgot. Yeah, they were hiding out because they were dispersed. But the women went first. That's a word. That's not in that. That's not even the text here. It's in the text, but it's not the message here. But we got to give props because God knew the power of women. You ain't got to say amen, but if you want to get a brownie point, you might as well go ahead and say it right now. The women went first, and they're going, they're perplexed, they're disturbed. They look in the temple, get this now, they look in the temple troubled about what they see, because last they saw, the Savior was dead, lying in the tomb, and the tomb was sealed. And now they get to the tomb, and that which they were concerned about in Matthew 28, about moving the stone, had already been taken care of. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something, that while you're trying to think it through, God already took care of it for you. And so here they're in the tomb, but they're perplexed. I love the text, because in the text, God doesn't leave his children in the dark. The text says that God sends heavenly messengers of a dazzling apparel. Maybe that's why we dress up on Easter, huh? Of dazzling apparel, and there they were to give the command, to give the instructions, to let them know that something new was happening. They asked the question, why are you here? Why are you hanging in the graveyard? Let me go ahead and give it to you like ESV says. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. Get this. He has risen just as he said. Then he says, remember he told you. I love this text. You ought not get tired of hearing that how faithful and trustworthy the word of God is, because as you're going through and ending your Easter festivities, I want to encourage you to remember that when you remember the resurrection, understand the resurrection matters, because it tells us that God always does what he says he's going to do. My goodness, I wish I was sitting next to you. I'd nudge you just for a moment to wake you up and let you know that if God said it, God will do it. God never fails to perform his word. God always do what he says he's going to do. And when you understand that God says that I will lay down my life, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down, and if I lay it down, I'll pick it up again. I can serve a God like that, because anytime you see the resurrection and the empty tomb, it lets you know that you can trust God to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. How do I know that no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper? Because of the resurrection. He did what he said he was going to do. How do I know that great is he that's in me than he that's in the world? Because of the resurrection. He did what he said he was going to do. How do I know that if God be for me, am I flowing too fast up in here? Maybe I'm just getting excited here. If God be for me, who can be against me? How can we believe this? Because of the truth of the resurrection. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he did it for you and I. Does that still move you? Amen. To know that God always does what he says he's going to do. So whatever season you're in, don't fret. Really think about this. God took care of our worst issue. The penalty of sin and debt. If God took care of our worst issues, then what do we have to worry about? The resurrection teaches us that we can celebrate, Pastor George, because of God's faithfulness. But it also shows something, because when you embrace the resurrection, I told you it changes your disposition. The women went in perplexed. The women went in troubled, but when they heard the good news, something happened. Their trouble was transformed into triumph. Their journey turned into joy. Why? Because they heard the good news. They heard that Jesus did what he said he was going to do. They heard that he was living. They heard that he was using them to go and tell others that he is alive. And you know what I figured out? I know the problem. I see it. Not the problem with you, your neighbor. I see the problem. See, we're so inundated with negative news that we don't know how to accept good news.
That every time we turn on our television, our media, any media, and we're so inundated with what's wrong with the world that we fail to see clearly that God came into the world to make it right. I hope you caught that. That we're so inundated that sometimes good news is not good enough. But let me help you understand something. When you embrace the good news of the resurrection, it will change how you see life. When you embrace the good news that Jesus lives, then you know you're never alone. When you embrace the good news of who Jesus is, it doesn't matter who walks out on you. It could be Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. You understand that God is with you.
Because truthfully, if you wouldn't have come, Sister Mary, we'd be in a miserable state. But here's the good news. He did come. And he came so that we would know he loves us. That's the truth of the resurrection. God loves us. And our response to the resurrection reflects our true belief. I mean, really evaluate your heart now. That when you hear of such a love, what does that do for you? When you really consider that God doesn't give up on you. Does that do something for you? God had you in his mind before the foundation of the world, that before you got in trouble, he already made a way for you to be out of the trouble. Oh, okay, all right. Here it is. You ain't feeling me just yet. Let me help you understand something. I love my children. I do. Sometimes they become Kiana's children, but I do. I love my children. Them boys look good too, boy. I gotta get boy. Yeah, them boys look good. I do. I love my boys. But I got one that's a driver, and you know, I remembered we had this agreement. No, we did. You know, now don't get this thing twisted, because I don't believe in enablement. So I told my son a long time ago, partner, this is not your car. You're only leasing this. And here are your payments. Here's the payment schedule. Don't look at me like that. I did. And you have to pay for your insurance, because if you can't pay, then you can't play. Am I right, son? Go ahead and let him know. I'm telling the truth. I don't lie in church. Yeah. One time he got in a jam because his money got funny. His change got strange. Some of y'all don't know about that. I said, son, do I have to bring you into collections? No. He came to me, he said, Doris, he's like, but Dad, I'm going to lose my insurance. I won't be able to drive no more. I said, mm-hmm. And I let him feel the heat a little bit, Willie. I let him feel the heat a little bit. I said, boy, I don't need your money. That has already been paid for. I'm trying to help you understand something in here. What does it do to you to know that God loves you so much that even when you did not love him, he still paid for it for you? It ought to move you. The women were moved. They were moved with great joy, but they're not the only ones in the text. Come on here and flow with me in the Bible. Look at verse 11. It says that the women are coming and they're telling the apostles. We'll pick up at verse 10. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them. Women always travel in a posse, boy. Who told these things to the apostles? But those words seemed to them like an idle tale. I told you, you got three kinds of people represented in here, and sometimes you have to evaluate which of you. Because to the apostles, the news of the resurrection didn't move them. They heard it, but it didn't move them. You mean I got to be excited about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection? Well, if you're not excited, then you don't know him. Because if it doesn't move you, then there's an indication that there's something still wrong in you. That sin has you. And God doesn't want sin
to have you. He came to save you. But they saw it like an idle tale. You know, they saw it like an idle tale. Whatever. Because women's witness back in those days wasn't considered credible. I hope you see this. But God gives you credit even when man question your credentials. Some of you look like you've never been there before, huh? That God ever blessed you with a job that your resume didn't qualify for? Did God ever do anything for you that you realized that, you know what? It wasn't because of me. It was because of the grace of God. They didn't want to receive it, but it was still true. But then the text goes on to say, but there was one. You see it there? It said the other apostles, they saw it as an idle tale, but Peter. You see Peter in verse 12? But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Wait a minute. Peter. Bible readers, you do know about Peter. No, maybe you don't know. Let me help you understand about Peter. I mean, Tom, we know. Of all people in this context, cussing Peter? Had a problem with profanity. I know some of you all ain't delivered all the way, so go and tell the true shame of the devil in here. But Peter? I mean, Peter was the leader of the posse, because there he was telling him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the next moment, Peter's saying, no, we can't do that, Lord. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, who looked at our Savior in his face and said, I don't know the man. Peter. Since the girl didn't really understand, and I'm not advocating this, young people, so don't say that the preacher told you to go ahead and use certain words. But the preacher in the text, Peter, had a problem with a young lady who said that he knew Jesus, and he cussed her out. Cussed, that's how we said it back in there. Peter. Peter now runs to the tomb, get this, because he heard the good news. He stoops in, he looks. Oh, but look what the text says. He looks in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what he saw. Uh-huh. He went. Some of us, when we go home, we'll go home with joy. Others will go home, marveling. That is being in amazement. But though he's marveling, don't miss this, he really wasn't moved. Because something happened in Peter's life, in his past, that had him stuck in the past that he couldn't proceed forward into his future. Go ahead and look in John. John, the 21st chapter. There in John, it tells us a little more about Peter, because he denied Christ. He denied him how many times? Three times. He denied Christ three times. And now Peter is on a fishing expedition doing what he used to do. In John chapter 20, and even though Peter did not respond beyond just being amazed at what he heard, look at who did respond. Text says in the 21st chapter of John that when they, being Peter and the boys, got to land, they saw a charcoal fire in place and laid fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon went aboard and hauled the net to shore. It was full of fish, 153, and altogether there were so many that the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Skip down from verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my lamb. How many times he denied him? Second time, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. Yeah, you know I love you. He said to him, then tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved that he said a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything, and I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. Don't miss this, you all. I want you to get it. That even though Peter may have disconnected from Jesus, Jesus never disconnected from him. That his response of love continues even when our response is not the right response at the right time. You know why? Because he doesn't give up on you. He still loves you. And he wants you to know that he loves you so you can know how to love him. One thing I love about Christ is that he called them by name. He called them by name, Mary. He called them by name, Peter. He called them by name. And today he may be calling you. Because he wants you to know of his love. He wants you to know of his grace. So that you can be moved when you understand that with him, there's no more tears. With him, there's only joy. And the closer you are to Jesus, the more joy you'll have. And I wish my grandma was here. She said, the joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world, sure enough, can't take it away. I want you to know of that joy. I want you to know of God's love for you, that Jesus will always be there. And when you call on him, he will answer. It's time for you to do that. It's time for us to stop knowing about him and to start knowing him for ourselves.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.